Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I love when the code word coincides with a banger.
Banger.
This is a banger.
New age banger?
I pretty much devoted my Twitter account just to retweeting whatever I consider to be still a banger. I think I'm going to change the heading on my Twitter account to just at still a banger.
What does that consist of?
So, like, I follow all those retro accounts. There's the old electronic game Simon. Someone tweeted about that. I retweet it. Still a banger.
The red, yellow, blue, green boxes.
Yeah, for hours.
Sorry to break it to you.
All day.
Bro, Fortnite versus Simon?
All day, Simon. Valero, you ever played Simon?
I actually have, yes. They still sell it.
What's better, Simon or Fortnite?
Fortnite, come on.
If you can wear a skin during Simon?
There you go.
Like a John Wick skin?
No, like Buffalo Bill.
Okay, no. I know that one.
One of my favorite scenes ever.
I imagine it is.
Where did it go? It's tucked. You can do that?
Let me give out the code word here. We have a lot to get to today. Time for your chance to win $1,000. 560 WQAM's Take Dono's Dollars. Your chance to take home $1,000. That song, of course, Pump Up the Volume. Code word this hour is volume. Volume. Text it to 72881 right now, and you are registered. Text volume, V-O-L-U-M-E. Text it to 72881. If you don't win this time, your next chance will be at the top of the next hour, so about 3 o'clock. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive, and it's all brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. And we always say, you know, it's a national contest, but people listening to this show win. We had a winner on Friday. Heard the code word. It was the 5 o'clock hour, and the winner came from someone listening to this show. We had one a couple weeks prior to that, so let's get another one this week.
Takes a couple seconds, guys. You can win $1,000.
Couple seconds. Text the word volume to 72881. Your best guess was Kevin Durant rooting for the Warriors to sweep Portland. Not rooting for them to lose. I'm just talking about a 4-game sweep.
Yes.
You think he was?
Yes. I think the finals his mind has to change, but semifinals, Western Conference, I think he wants to get to the finals. But
he knew that if they swept the Blazers, this narrative of maybe they're a better ball club without Kevin Durant, which is a weird thing to say, but they play a more fun style of basketball.
Oh, for sure.
And then, Valero, weren't you telling me that he's out on Instagram responding to people?
Responding to a bunch of people, and like for no reason. Like they're not even criticizing him, and he's still like going after them.
For
like,
a reason.
Like, he doesn't like the narrative, obviously. I mean, because it's ridiculous to say that they're better without Kevin Durant because he's the best player in basketball.
You know what? I think better and more talented are two different things.
Right. You're right. You could I could make a case for they're a better team without Kevin Durant. The ball movement without Kevin Durant is ridiculous.
That's what I was going to say. The talent level goes down. Obviously, he's the best player in the world. But their team basketball, the efficiency of their team with no ISO ball, I think those are two different things. Because I can argue for one, you lose Kevin Durant, you're a less talented squad, hands down. Better team play, more efficient team, movement, assists. The numbers bear out that they are a better efficient team. A more efficient team without Kevin Durant on the court.
Man, I feel like last night he's like, yeah, they'll lose this one. Maybe they'll lose game 6, you know, 4 or 5, and then go to a game 6. And it mutes that a little bit. Like, all of a sudden, they're in the Western Conference Finals. Portland's a good team.
Yeah.
KD's out, and they just swept Portland.
You know what it does do? It lowers his recovery time.
Right, I got to get back out there.
I need to get back out because they're about to start the finals. Well, you know, the East has to get done, but whenever that East gets done, they're going to start the finals. Kevin Durant wants to and needs to play another game this postseason just to get that narrative away.
Little gambling update. Another winner on the Hockman train. This train that had been derailed for 3 or 4 weeks. Loss after loss after loss piling up. Last night, and I think we said this on the air, right?
Yeah.
Didn't we say this on the air? Excuse me.
Oh, it was. He got bad. You said it early and late. So I'll give you credit for this one. You said it twice yesterday.
I said largest. I'm having problems here.
What is going on, man?
I don't know, man.
I do have the phlegm montage.
All right, give us the phlegm montage.
Good job, Lero.
The whole new system is different. He's what happened? You just said you had it.
So I'm putting up different pots for no reason. I don't know why I'm doing it like that.
Well, at least you call it a pot, not a pod.
Pod.
And some of those.
There you go.
Whoa. It's going to take you some time, okay?
All right. I almost died.
Hey, yo, Easy.
La-la-la light skin wonder. I see trees of
green. Hey, John, we always.
Red roses. Why is it me?
And, whoa. I
see them blue. You're the one.
And with Wade leaving. Excuse me. May can't go back. And I think to my series world. Of. Excuse me. May can't go back. I have this. What a wonderful world. And some of those.
Whoa. I have a head cold. You're just naturally phlegmy.
But
so.
You brought the phlegm into today's show.
But it reminds us of you.
I was going to let you borrow my drink to clear it out, but I don't know if we're that close.
Yeah, I don't think I would borrow your drink anyway.
But how close do we have to be to borrow a drink? Ooh. Like, not just a share a drink at a restaurant, but your throat's dry midstream of a segment. Like, hey, take a sip of my drink.
Because that's a professional courtesy. We're not talking like friends on the beach and I'm thirsty. Yeah. We're in a professional situation. It's akin to being on a construction site. I've dropped my hammer. I need to nail something in. You hand me your hammer.
No problem. You have my hammer. I'm not letting you take my bubbly.
Huh. I don't think I would take a sip out of your drink, though. You've taken a sip out of it already? Because
yeah.
you're a fairly dirty guy, and I don't say that as a negative. It's just
and you're not a damn syringe out the pack either. talking trash.
Syringe out the pack.
Talking about cleanliness.
Oh, I gotta share this with everybody. So anyway, we had said this on the air. Bet. The largest lead in the game will be over 16.5. We bet that. There was 1 point in the game last night where there was a 17-point lead. And by the way, it was for Portland.
Yeah.
There was a 17-point lead. That was it.
And it lasted, what, 20 seconds?
20 seconds. I mean, it was an unbelievable cover on that bet, but there you go. Two in a row, we did it.
When is that a streak?
That's a streak.
Two?
Brother, that is a streak.
Not in the situation we're in, that's a streak. I'm talking about just overall. Is two a streak?
Two is a streak. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say two is a streak.
Well, let's keep it going.
Loose definition just based on our history. So speaking of dirty, I found this to be shocking. Tell me if I'm wrong.
That was you?
I just like the sound you made because you knew you were in trouble. You were the 5-year-old that knew you were in trouble.
Uh-oh.
His phone rang. He looked at me with those doe eyes. Uh-oh.
Didn't mean to do that. And it's Frito. Man, what's going on, Frito? Get me in trouble.
I love it. He texted me, too, but my sound is off.
I know. I was waiting for my wife to call earlier.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean you have to have the sound. Now. That's a terrible excuse.
No, because you miss your wife's call. Man, you're in trouble.
Just keep an eye on your phone.
You're not married to a black and Cuban woman.
That is true.
Lori's understanding.
That is true.
Asia ain't with it.
Different ball game there.
It really is.
Different ball game. So, speaking of dirty, tell me if I'm wrong on this. We have visiting at the radio station. What time does the lunch cart come? Like
about 12.
About noon.
Yeah.
So, the Roach Coach. Mm. This is not a fancy food truck. You know, there's food trucks. You go to food truck expos and, you know, you can get lobster rolls that rival any lobster roll you would get at a nice restaurant.
Yes.
The Roach Coach is something a little different.
It was before they invented food trucks.
Correct. So it's a guy generally, correct me if I'm wrong, the Roach Coach generally is a converted, you know, cargo truck, and it is a guy wakes up very early.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go to Costco, buy a 40-pack of hot dogs and buns. He'll buy a bunch of Czech colas or, you know, whatever they have at Costco. I don't know what the brand is.
The resale stuff. Kirkland's. Boyle Days.
Kirkland's. Yeah, Kirkland's.
They don't make their own food. They just resell already prepared things.
They have bags of chips called chips. You know what I mean? And so, and then they drive around and they've got their route. And they go to different offices that don't have a restaurant in the office. They park outside. Beep, beep, beep. Roach Coach is here. You line up. You spend $4 or $5. You get a hot dog, a bag of chips, an RC Cola. RC, the Roach Coaches are keeping RC Cola in business, right? Because they buy it for 30 cents. They charge 75 cents. Everybody feels like a winner up until you take the sip of RC Cola. But regardless, 100%. The Roach Coach is not a luxury food truck.
What?
Valero, and we know this about him, he has a weak stomach. Am I lying? There's plenty of times.
I'm going to let you answer for
that. There's plenty of times that we look across the glass and he is gone because he's rushing down to the bathroom.
Put him in the bathroom.
Put him in the bathroom.
That's what his stomach says.
That's what his stomach says. Like a Bronx Tale. Put him in the bathroom. So he's got a weak stomach. Anyway, I walk in today. He's putting sound in the new system. He's got one of those styrofoam containers. It's obviously from the Roach Coach. I go to look and see what he has purchased for lunch. Fish.
Come on.
Yeah, fish.
Fish.
Fish fingers.
I heard an audible gasp from Whittingham. It's such a flawed decision.
Out of a van.
And so I'm going, bro, fish from the Roach Coach. And he goes, the guy told me he catches it himself every morning.
Oh, every morning.
Hey, handpicked, man.
Now,
you're a fisherman. You would know.
Think about what this guy would have had to do. It's breaded and fried. Like, think about what this guy's schedule would have to be in order to go out, catch fish.
What kind of fish was it?
Fillet it.
Mahi.
So he went.
He caught a mahi this morning.
In the canal? Uh-huh. Yep. In the canal.
Yep. Lero.
Took off the fingers of it, too.
Okay,
Lero.
So.
It's impossible.
So.
It's impossible to catch a mahi at 4 in the morning.
But here's
maybe you're not a good fisherman.
No, they don't bite during the night. I know this.
But come on, think about it. Think about what the Roach Coach has to do to prepare his truck for, like, his first stop has to be at 10:45 somewhere. Probably 10, because they sell muffins in there and stuff.
Yeah.
So what, this guy got up, caught fish, filleted them.
breaded
them. Fried them. And then served them to Valero. But here's the great part of the story. 10 minutes before the show starts, Valero disappears. And then I see him come up the stairs 45 seconds later. And he says with great pride, I don't think I've ever gone to the bathroom that fast before. And I go, do you remember?
Blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah, exactly. I go, do you remember the conversation that we just had an hour ago where I made fun of you about buying fish from the Roach Coach?
Come on.
And he goes, oh, yeah. You think the two are related? I go, dude, you just said you set a record for fastest evacuation. This was like...
It was complete, too.
Cities try to evacuate when a hurricane is coming in an orderly fashion the way that he evacuated before the show started. Like... He came up smiling. There is video. I have video on Instagram, not of the evacuation, but of the fish.
Hope not.
In the styrofoam. It's at Radio Mark Hockman on Instagram.
So
it is.
Fish out of a van seemed like a good idea to you.
A truck, food
no,
truck.
But knowing that you have a weak stomach, that's the part that, like, I would be leery of a hot dog. If you don't cook a hot dog properly,
yeah, bro,
there's beaks in there.
Bro, if it tastes good, it tastes good. Who cares where it comes from?
Yeah, no.
So you get leprosy.
No, it's
can you
just,
get leprosy
it's,
from food?
Whatever it is, it's a flawed decision. Flawed decision. So
well, I feel fine. So.
Bro, it wasn't mahi either.
It
mean,
was.
How much did it cost?
For 5 bites, it was...
I like how he calls them bites.
Like 350.
Well, how much for just
you're
one
eating,
bite?
Just listen. Mahi goes for in the teens at the lowest
I
per
mean,
pound.
This is absurd.
You're eating mahi for $3.
Why would he lie to me?
Because he's trying to sell that garbage-ass fish he has.
Well, if you consider Mahi to be garbage, that's your fault.
Bro, you just had some goldfish out of a tank.
I mean, honestly, you had minnows. You had pressed minnows. And beaks.
I still have some back here, so you're going to tell me what fish they are. Can you tell me what fish?
I can tell you.
Okay. Yeah, it's called garbage fish. It's garbage fish.
I've never heard of that one.
It is absolute garbage fish that you bought out of a van.
Yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable.
Mahi's like a top-notch fish. The van isn't purchasing mahi.
You have to be careful of ordering fish at any restaurant. I really do believe that. To me, if I'm going to order fish, that's a leap of faith. Because fish, a lot of stuff could go wrong with fish. And fish, by the way, goes through you when it's not cooked well, you know.
Sushi doesn't do that to me.
But again, if it's bad sushi, like I'm very careful of where I eat sushi. I wouldn't eat gas station sushi.
Would you eat it from the Roach Coach? Because I would.
Roach. His name is Roach Coach.
Roach.
Makes it great.
Is in the name.
Most I get from there is a Diet Coke.
Will Brinson is going to join us in the next segment. He's the senior NFL writer at CBSSports.com. He did an early mock draft for next year. And he has the Dolphins picking number one. And he has them taking a quarterback. And it's not Tua Tagovailoa.
I got to talk to Will about this.
So Will Brinson's going to join us, but also he's a very big critic of the final episode of Game of Thrones.
I saw that.
He's been going off. So there's going to be spoilers in the next segment. So if you haven't watched Game of Thrones yet, that's on you. There's going to be spoilers. Will Brinson, CBSSports.com is next. Radio.com. Radio.com. All right, lots going on, but we're gonna go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. The senior NFL writer at CBSSports.com, Will Brinson, is there. He's a friend of ours.
Yes,
he's been on the show before once. Got stung by a wasp.
He's a man.
During the interview, continued on with the interview like nothing had happened.
A man, baby.
Will Brinson, CBSSports.com. Hello, Will.
What's up, guys? Just you know what? I'm grinding through something even more painful right now. I'm doing a fantasy football mock draft in May with Jamie Eisenberg, Dave Richard, and an assorted cast of misfits.
All right, now let me ask you something, because that sounds unappealing, but I'm gonna tell you something that I think might even be more unappealing. And I was killing Falero, our producer. Oh, what's going on there? Is that Jamie Eisenberg in the background?
It sounds like it. Every time I go to the studio, he knows it. He hears me talking and he starts yelling for Oreos because he knows that I'm absolutely like nothing. There's nothing I can do. I can't yell at him and be like, please be quiet.
Right. Like, so you just got to apply him. You got to apply him with Oreos. He knows the drill.
He's been sitting here absolutely quiet for the last 15 minutes. Hadn't said a word. As soon as I started talking to y'all, he's like, Daddy, Oreos!
That's awesome. What a great move on his part. Yeah, that's
meatloaf.
Ma, the meatloaf! So, as unappealing as a mock draft in May with Dave Richard and Jamie Eisenberg may sound, our producer Eric Falero today went downstairs. The Roach Coach was here, you know, with a couple of, you know, requisite sandwiches, peanut butter jelly, whatever it is, and bought fish from the Roach Coach.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, would you ever do that? Would you ever buy fish out of a Roach Coach?
I don't know what a Roach Coach is. Is that like the actual name of a food
so
truck?
It's the nameless, faceless lunch truck that's just silver.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
the generic one.
No. It's the van.
Yeah,
no.
Of course not. Right.
That's like buying one of those pimento cheese sandwiches at a gas station.
Right.
Yes.
Like, why don't you just inject yourself with Hep C? I mean,
Hep C, Lero.
Shoot yourself full of, or like, go take a shot of tetanus.
Right.
You're going to bartender to make you a shot of tetanus.
They don't sell
it.
Hepatitis C just flat out, Falero. You have to buy it through the fish.
I'm going to ask him next time if he has it on the menu.
Just a terrible choice
by
him.
It tasted good.
Terrible. No. Well, all right. I mean,
it tasted good.
What kind of fish was it? Is it like, is he at least like, he's like, this is a locally caught tilapia?
He catches it by hand. It's mahi-mahi.
Yeah, he catches mahi by hand, Will.
He told Valero that he caught it himself that morning, but it was breaded and fried. It was filleted. It was absurd. If that dude caught it this morning, he caught it at PetSmart. All right. Anyway, I just wanted to
locally sourced goldfish.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I wasn't crazy in thinking that was an awful idea.
He sold one today.
Maybe one this year.
Yes,
one this year. Maybe worse than the mock draft, you know, in May. But Will Brinson on CBSSports.com. So you come out with this early mock draft for next year, and you have the Dolphins selecting first, and you have them taking a quarterback, but not Tua Tagovailoa. Now, do you stand by this, or is this just an exercise?
I published it yesterday, so I'm going to stand by it.
I've said plenty of things on the air that I would never stand by. I'm just trying to fill time.
I was hesitating. I was wondering, did he get tartar sauce on it too?
He did.
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
I acted like it was serious. He was really having something.
Well, because the thing is, like, how long do you think that tartar sauce has been in the Roach coach? I might
be more worried about the tartar sauce than the actual, because at least if the fish is fried, you're just battling whatever other you might battle with, like a hot dog or a hamburger down there, right? I mean, like
that's an interesting call. That's a pretty good point by Will Brinson there. That the tartar sauce may be worse than the
might be the real danger zone there.
Why? Yeah.
Why? Because the sauce can go, like, if that sauce isn't stored at the right temperature, like, and again,
a lot of temperature gauges are in those damn vans.
I didn't even want to tell you the rest of the story, Will. I shared it with the audience, but Valero, about 45 minutes after me making fun of him for having eaten that out of the Roach coach, he went downstairs, ran downstairs to the bathroom. I'm not even making this up. Came back up 40 seconds later and said, I just went to the bathroom more quickly than I've ever gone in my life.
It's like no kidding. It's like, yeah. That's how it works. Yeah.
Now, back to the tartar sauce of your mock draft.
A couple of things. One, I should point out that while the Dolphins would be the logical choice for the number one overall pick because they are projected for 5 wins for Vegas, this is not me saying, the Dolphins are going to stink. I'm going to give them the number one pick. I was told the order for this based on our sports line projections. So, I mean, they're like, hey, look, you got the Dolphins first overall. Part and parcel of doing a mock draft for 2020 at the end of the 2019 draft, is that it becomes increasingly difficult to, like, it's hard not to put a quarterback first overall in a class that's a very good group of quarterbacks. So even though the Dolphins traded for Josh Rosen, and I think Josh Rosen will be really good, and I'm rooting for Josh Rosen to be really good, and I'm rooting for him to come out of this year with like a 6 or 7 or 8 win Dolphins team and people saying, hey, Josh Rosen's the future in South Beach. Like, I think that would be an awesome outcome for a young man who got dogged by the Cardinals, handled this with a lot of humility and class, has been nothing but a pro's pro since he got in the league, and certainly deserves, in my opinion, a little bit better. And so I hope it works out for him, and I hope that, I'm not mocking a quarterback from the Dolphins at the first overall pick, come actual 2020 draft. Having said all that, the Dolphins did use a mid-second-round pick. You know, they didn't use a very expensive pick to acquire Josh Rosen. So I do not think they are beholden to him. And I don't think they're required to pass on a quarterback if they do indeed have a rough season and end up with the number one overall pick. I think all three guys, Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert, and Tua, I'm just going to say Tua just for the rest of eternity. I can't do it. I think all three guys have traits you like to see. I think Fromm sort of fell behind Tua a little bit because of the monster Heisman campaign from Tua last year that obviously came up just short with Kyler Murray beating him down the stretch. Tua was the favorite. He was like -1100 near the end. I think that this coming season, you will see Tua picked apart a little bit more than usual because he is being projected as by a lot of people as the top overall pick. Vegas has him as a heavy favorite to be the top overall pick. And as such, I think you'll see a people start to sort of look for flaws from him. I think maybe he'll struggle a little bit with the loss of a lot of first-round picks, you know, a lot of first-round quality players on that offense and on that defense. And I don't think Alabama will be bad. I think it'll be Alabama and Clemson in the title game again. But I do think that Tua will get picked apart, and maybe being left-handed will even sort of factor into it. Like, we haven't seen a whole lot of, you know, great left-handed quarterbacks in recent years. I mean, we had Vic and Steve Young, of course, and Mark Brunell were very good, but you just don't see a ton of lefties out there. And I just think, a couple of factors like that, as well as Jake Fromm elevating his game as he sort of, gets a, after having had one full season of the pressure cooker or being that starting quarterback there, I think Fromm can end up being the number one overall quarterback. And unless Josh Rosen is just absolutely lights out and the Dolphins win, it would be hard for Miami to end up with the first overall pick and Josh Rosen to play so well that they pass on a quarterback there. You know what I'm saying? They could trade out, I guess. But like, if he plays well enough, you think that they would win more games and wouldn't end up with that first overall pick. So in the scenario I'm being given where they do have the first overall pick, in my mind, they wouldn't hesitate to move on and take another quarterback.
Oh, well, I'm 100% with you where Rosen, like if he plays lights out, 5,000 yards, 28 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, you got your guy for the future. But if he just plays decent, like you're saying, 5-6 wins, and they do draft a guy, what comes of Rosen? Is he a backup? Do they use him as a trade piece? What happens to Rosen if they do go out and get Fromm or Herbert or Tua number one?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. And it will certainly be interesting to see how it plays out. I mean, I think, it'd be tough to trade him. Like, he's cheap and he's an asset and it's good to have a backup like that, but who's going to give you, you already saw the depreciation, right? It's like, it's like a new car versus a used car. I mean, by the time the Cardinals traded him, he went from the 10th pick to the 63rd pick, yeah, or 68th pick or whatever it was. And so now are you going to cough him up for a fourth rounder, or you just hold that cheap asset and sort of let him hang around? And I would assume that they would sit on his rights and hold on to him because that's what the Patriots would do, right? And so they're trying to copy the Patriots, presumably like everybody else. So my guess is that they would ride it out and have a cheap backup. I think it's fascinating, guys, the psychology behind this, because if the Dolphins draft Josh Rosen 10th overall, or I guess Minka 11th overall or 12th overall?
Minka 11th,
right? Yeah, Minka's 11th, right. So like, let's say the Cardinals don't trade up and the Dolphins draft him 11th overall, and they're still in the same position now with Josh Rosen. I mean, this is seen as a colossal failure if he doesn't work out as the quarterback. It's a blown pick. Another quarterback in a long line of guys who haven't worked out for the Dolphins. And instead, this is seen as a smart acquisition of an asset with upside. And nobody's going to freak out if Josh Rosen doesn't work out for the Dolphins. The psychology of 10th overall versus 63rd overall is just, it's so different. And that's why I like the method of getting Josh Rosen. There's no pressure for the Dolphins here. If he's not good, hey, they took a flyer, they're rebuilding, everyone can move on and they can try and find somebody else. And if he's good, it's gravy. Even if he's okay, you can add another quarterback and not have to worry about it because your regime is not tied a first round pick in that investment to this quarterback.
Will Brinson, he's the senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. Quickly, before we run out of time, what gets people more riled up on social media, the NFL and mock drafts in May or Game of Thrones?
Game of Thrones, easily. although, I mean, somebody was yelling at me, like, how dare you project the Cowboys for less than 9 wins today? That's ridiculous. Like, okay, all right, man. Hey,
just love the accent, though.
Just pulling up some column inches here. Just trying to take up some space. Game of Thrones, though, Will Brinson, I alerted people. There might be a spoiler here. Crowder watches the show. I don't. Falero watches the show. I don't.
I spoiled everything yesterday, Will. Don't
worry
about it.
Yesterday. You were not a fan of the final episode, nor the final season, if I recall, right?
No, I was not a fan of the final two seasons. I don't care if this sounds stupid. People on Twitter are getting on me about it. I invested a lot of my time and my energy and personal effort into watching this show, following these characters, not studying the episodes, but like, rewatching seasons, reading about certain stuff to make sure that I was up, caught up on all the, all the, you know, the familial, the genealogical path and all this stuff, so I wouldn't be confused. I put a lot of time into Game of Thrones since it aired in 2011. And the Bay brothers, as I like to call them, DeBoff and Weiss, or whatever their names are, the two guys who took over after George R. R. Martin's books ran out, the showrunners, they're writing this like it's a mid-90s action movie. And they're just tossing everything out. They get rid of the – they don't even care about the dragon situation. They don't care about the Night King situation. They don't care about plot and character arc and doing the right thing by your story. They're just blitzkrieging their way through this, trying to get to an endpoint so they can go work on their next Star Wars project. And it annoys me that they would do that in the final two seasons, because you just can't have six great seasons and then not live up to the expectation of season 7 and season 8. So I've been a little worked up about it over the past few weeks, and people on social media have not taken well to my comments.
Because yesterday we had George Sedano on ESPN Los Angeles, and he said, hey, if you're criticizing the show, that's on you. Just enjoy what they put in front of you and shut up. Manny Navarro, Athletic, and I argued with George, because if I walk out of a movie and I don't like it, I'm going to tell you I don't like it. Doesn't mean I could have written anything better. I'm just telling you I didn't like it.
You're not a writer.
Manny Navarro from The Athletic, he was on with us yesterday. He hated it as well. So, yeah, and I give credence to guys like you that write for a living.
Well, I mean, like, I'm not writing some, you know, gigantic, you know, like, action movie or I mean, I think the bottom line is the whole show and everything got to be too unwieldy for the showrunners, and they didn't have any closure. Look, I mean, they got hosed because George R. R. Martin didn't finish the books. They thought he'd finished by now, and they would just follow the script and adapt it. And so they had no choice but to do what they do best, and that's blast their way out of it with big pictures and explosions and slow 45-minute walks of characters through rubble. I mean, I get it. Like, that was their only way out of it, and they did it. But it's disappointing to see that finish. And I like George. He's great. But I'm not buying this, you know, sit back and take what they give you. That's not how, I mean, this is entertainment, but it's still art. Like, it's a television show. It's something that you know, they want analyzed. It's been analyzed over and over again. And so the idea that you wouldn't be critical or wouldn't give it praise or all of that is silly. Now, having said that, I think that you'll be able to watch this show at some point if you want, since you didn't watch it now, with the benefit of HBO Go or Netflix or wherever it lands. And I think there may be a different response to it than there will be in terms of people watching it live on a week-to-week basis, because there is more buildup. People are tweeting about it as it goes live. There's an instant reaction. I think for all of these things, and even for sports and the NFL, the draft, football games, everything, we're always better if we can take like a 24-hour period, cool down, rethink everything, analyze it a little more deeply, go back through, watch stuff over a second time, but it doesn't work in 2019. You don't have the option to do that. You show up on Tuesday with an opinion, and you might as well be like, just don't bother showing up if you're going to show up Tuesday with an opinion now.
Well, Will, let's rewrite it. The hell with Broken Bran. Who should be on the throne?
Well, I mean, like, I don't even mind if Bran is on it, but you can't come to me with this. He's like, he's got the best story. It's like, that little girl turned into a faceless ninja and stabbed the dead zombie mauler rolling through the countryside. What do you mean he has a better story? The only thing Bran's got going for him, and I think this is, like, he can go into an office meeting. Like, he shows up and they're like, hey, Your Grace, we got to go over the budget here. We got to worry about this. And he's like, oh, you know what? I've actually got to go check on this dragon. Warg! And he just warg, his eyes roll back, and he's like, all right, I'm out of here. I said, sorry, I got to go check on this dog down the stables. I don't know how he's doing. I'm fine with him as a leader in terms of knowing stuff, but when you see the way he acted in the battlefield, it's a joke. I would have put Sansa on the throne, and I think that they copped out a little bit by giving her the North. I loved it. Her character arc ended with her, you know, gaining her own independence and going back to the North, and the North having its own independence. But that feels like a cop-out to split everybody up, save everybody's life, keep all the Starks alive, and send them in different directions and make everybody happy. That, to me, is, if I wanted cotton candy, I'd go down to the fair and get it.
Yeah, he was running from life when he was warging. Every time we saw him, he had white eyes. I want a character that said something.
So it was
Will.
Like it was like the Mueller report. I didn't see it, but it was like maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Everybody see whatever they want to see at the end of this.
I was joking on our podcast where it's like, I wish I had Brand's powers. My wife would come up and she'd be like, so did you, I noticed that you didn't mow the lawn. It's like, oh, hold on, I got to check on this wart and just peek out. Just eyes go back in my head. I'm like, I'm out of there. It's like, there's somebody like, hey, can you come in for this conference call? Yeah, sure. Let me just take a peek at my towel. Wart. Just work out. Work out whenever anybody needs you to do anything. And that's Brand's what Brand's doing the rest of
the Brand's
life.
A deadbeat dad.
Excellent.
Brand is a deadbeat dad.
It's Will Smith's dad in Fresh Prince.
Wart.
I'll be back to see you, and we're going to hang out. And
Dad,
Will, your dad your dad had to leave.
Yeah, Brand, you're my father. Wart.
Senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com. Will Brinson, he suggests putting Jake Fromm on the throne when it's all said and done. So there you go. Read his work at CBSSports.com. Thank you, Will.
Yeah, guys, always fun. Talk to you soon.
That was enjoyable. We covered a lot of ground there, from fish sticks to Game of Thrones.
Will comes with opinions, though.
He really does, yeah. Man. He does. All right. We went very long with him. It was worth it, though. We'll take a quick break, and we'll come right back.
Radio.com.
Ship ahoy, yeah.
Ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy, ship ahoy.
Ship ahoy.
And it's the OJs.
Hey, guess, man.
We learned that last week because Valero had played this at the top of an hour, and then we actually had a winner listening to this radio show win the $1,000. The code word that hour happened to be ship, and he played Ship Ahoy. And we had never heard this song before, and I like it. I like the OJs.
This is a banger.
I like the OJs. Still a banger.
Yep.
This is on still a banger list?
This is still a banger. Was it ever a banger, though?
Like, oh, yeah. You're asking me. I don't know.
Because I don't know if this was ever a hit for the OJs. I don't think it was.
Couldn't have been.
Backstabbers, I think, was their biggest...
For the Love of Money?
Hit. For the Love of Money.
Look at you.
Don't they sing that Train song, too?
Love Train.
Love Train, yeah.
People loved Will Brinson in the last segment. By the way, I'm seeing on ESPN, Ndamukong Suh is finalizing a contract with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so... Tampa Bay Buccaneers will get the services of Ndamukong Suh.
He's going to sue it.
He is...
That's all he's going to do. He's going to do exactly what he's done his whole career.
What he did here, which I don't think he ever became a beloved member of the community, but he played football well.
He's extremely solid.
He's a mercenary.
Yeah.
I got good services. You want them, pay up, and I'll be there.
They'll never run his way, but he won't make too many plays. It is what it is. Like, I'm not... I like Gerald McCoy's game at his prime better than Sue's game at his prime.
Right.
Gerald McCoy was destructive.
Sue will be good, though, with the Bucs. I mean, he's good wherever he goes. You know, he doesn't put up gaudy sack numbers, which is, I think, what a lot of people expected when he came down here. But
with the games changing, that's why a lot of people are getting out of that 3-4, because that big Vince Wilfork nose tackle. Like, if you notice, those big 380-pound guys are dying off.
Right.
You need to be fast, athletic. Aaron Donald is where D tackles are going.
Do we know the terms of his contract? Like, what's he getting paid? I have no...
Ndamukong Suh? No, not yet.
I'm interested to see what kind of money he's getting.
It ain't league minimum. Like you said, he is a mercenary.
It is not league minimum. You are correct about that. People texting in about Will Brinson's take on Game of Thrones. It's a very controversial subject matter. It is. Yeah. It's more, you know, we do it. You mention Eric Spoelstra and you get people coming out of the woodwork that, you know, without three superstars can't do anything. You mention Ryan Tannehill, and for 7 years we had differing opinions. This Game of Thrones thing, man.
Let me ask you this, because Will was talking about it. We heard it yesterday with George, was kind of saying that where you're not the writer, don't criticize the writing. You're not allowed to criticize offensive or defensive play calls because they're the coordinators. You're a fan of the team. They're calling bad plays, but they're the call. They leave them alone. That's the same thing saying about the writers.
Like, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I didn't buy Sedano's argument yesterday either, and it's the same thing with a sports column. If Manny Navarro writes something for The Athletic that I think is stupid, then I can say, hey, I thought that column was stupid.
Yes.
Doesn't mean that I think all his work is stupid. Doesn't mean I never saw Game of Thrones, so I don't have a horse in the race. But if you criticize the final season, it doesn't, I don't think it takes away your enjoyment from the previous seven.
I honestly believe it was an analogy I gave you a couple days ago. It is going undefeated and losing in the Super Bowl. Because
right.
Game of Thrones was
undefeated.
Killing it. It's 17 million viewers a week. Lero, you tell us all those stats. They went undefeated, got to the Super Bowl, and got the hell beat out of it. It's like losing 50-0 in the Super Bowl.
The Tampa Bay Lightning this season, right? And they get swept in the first round after setting every point record in the NHL.
Yes.
Yeah, you put up a stinker at the end. Doesn't change what you did in the regular season. You put up a stinker.
But the Tampa Bay Lightning season was a failure.
Correct.
Even though they killed the regular season.
You're right.
So I think some people believe Game of Thrones a failure because they failed when it mattered.
It's a fair analogy.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stuff to get to. Adam Beasley is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour. He's got opinions on Game of Thrones as well. We've got to play Cheers 2. Are we going to do Cheers 2 next at 3 o'clock, or are we going to push it to later?
We could, whatever you want.
All right, we'll play it by ear. We'll play it. Who knows what we're going to do when you come back.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.